This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, July 14th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Non-fungible tokens and digital assets, from land in the metaverse to virtual pets and video games, were all the rage for new startups and investors looking to capitalize on the hype and promise of Web3 technology. But as the values of cryptocurrencies have plummeted, the companies that staked their worth on these digital assets are running into problems. On today's show, our startups and venture capital reporter, Berber Jin, joins us to discuss how investors are reevaluating their faith in these businesses and what the companies that claim to be the future of the internet are doing to evolve. That's after these headlines. Netflix plans to partner with Microsoft to offer a new ad-supported version of its streaming service. The ad-supported alternative will offer customers a lower-cost option that Netflix hopes will boost subscriber numbers. Microsoft will act as Netflix's technology and sales partner. We've previously reported that the streaming giant has also had conversations with potential advertising partners, including Comcast and Google. Speaking of Microsoft, the software giant is pushing back against antitrust complaints in Europe. Competitors have accused the company of abusing its position as the world's second-largest cloud company after Amazon. They say Microsoft suppresses European competition by bundling its cloud software with its Windows operating system. Microsoft has been responding to criticism with a mixture of perks and persuasion, in one instance offering to promote a company's logo in Microsoft's marketing materials. The company turned them down. Our reporter Kim McCrail says Microsoft is trying to create allies and disarm critics in one of its biggest markets.
Microsoft and the cloud computing business more broadly haven't really attracted a lot of attention from regulators in recent years, but that's something that might be changing. The EU is considering a new regulation, and that's something that could end up forcing cloud providers to make it easier for their customers to switch from one platform to another. And the European Commission is assessing the antitrust complaints that it's received from other companies, from competitors against Microsoft. Those complaints could also actually affect another part of Microsoft's business, and that is because Microsoft is trying to get approval for its planned acquisition of Activision Blizzard. That's the video game company that makes games like Call of Duty and Candy Crush. And some lobbyists in Europe have actually said that the way Microsoft deals with its cloud business and the concerns that competitors have raised, that could actually impact how regulators see that deal.
Google is the latest tech giant to announce plans to slow down hiring. In an email to staff this week, CEO Sundar Pichai urged employees to be more entrepreneurial by redeploying resources to higher priority areas or consolidating where there are overlaps. Pichai said Google did add about 10,000 employees in the second quarter. Parent company Alphabet reported adding nearly 164,000 as of the end of March, up 17% from a year earlier. A Google spokesman declined to comment. Staying with Google, the search giant is countersuing Match Group, alleging the dating app company violated its contract with Google's App Store. According to the suit, Google is looking to ban Match, which operates Match, Tinder, and OkCupid, from the Google Play Store. In a statement, Match called the Google Play policies anti-competitive. The dating company filed a suit against Google in May, alleging that it was unfairly required to use Google's billing system to be listed on Google Play. A Google spokesman dismissed Match's latest claims as baseless. But the suit is part of growing pressure on Google and rival Apple over their App Store rules. And the mining industry is becoming increasingly automated, with companies investing billions of dollars in automation tech to make sites safer and more efficient. But our reporter Rhiannon Hoyle says this brings a new challenge, finding people to manage all that high-tech equipment.
Miners that historically relied on equipment operators and laborers are increasingly competing with non-mining industries for highly skilled digital talent that, consultants say, is not only in demand everywhere, but is typically not attracted to work in the mining sector. Challenges in filling roles are leading miners to pay hefty sign-up or retention bonuses, bring in higher-priced contractors, and reluctantly increase wages to get the workers they need.
All right, coming up, Web3 businesses are facing the impact of the crypto rout. What are they doing to survive? And will it be enough to keep the attention of investors? We'll discuss after the break.
Want to stay on top of financial news but don't have a lot of time? Try Numbers by Barron's. Every trading day, we break down the day's biggest money stories and what they mean for your investments. And that's in less than 5 minutes. Or under 2.5 minutes if you listen at double speed. Numbers by Barron's, the financial news you need to know every day in under 2.5 minutes.
As crypto prices have plunged and questions have been raised about the viability of some crypto lenders and brokers, another kind of company connected to the crypto space has been hurt. Web3 businesses that offer their own digital tokens. Investors poured $4.5 billion into blockchain-based companies last year, according to Crunchbase. But games like Axie Infinity, where players earn assets like virtual pets they can sell, or blockchain-based fitness apps like Steppin, where users earn tokens based on how much they jog, have seen the value of their digital assets crash. It raises the question, if investors see less value in Bitcoin and other digital currencies, how much is a token won in a video game worth? Joining us to discuss how these startups are coping and what it means for the development of Web3 is our startups and venture capital reporter, Berber Jin. Hi, Berber. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, Zoe. Very excited to be here.
So let's start with the investors who poured so much money into this over the last year or so. How are they reacting to these companies now that we're seeing declines in crypto values?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think last year, because there was so much enthusiasm amongst just normal people for these games, what happened was that a lot of the prices of crypto tokens went up. And so users piled into the games, they wanted to play, but they didn't necessarily use these Web3 services because they really liked, in Axie Infinity's case, the game itself. It's because they wanted to make money. So what's happening now is as the crypto market crashes, people are sort of fleeing from a lot of these projects that were built on the blockchain. And as a result, investors are in a really tricky situation. Last year, they sort of bought into a lot of the hype around these startups and failed to distinguish between companies that actually had products that people wanted to use and companies that offered services that people used because they could speculate on assets and make a lot of money. So a lot of investors now, I think, are rethinking their strategy for investing in the space. And what they're having trouble discerning is how much of the crypto market actually can offer users a better alternative to existing social media networks, games that are already on the internet, and which types of companies are fueled mostly by speculation of these digital tokens, which drove up the valuations and the prices venture capitalists are willing to pay for companies last year.
Right. So what's the hype and what's, I guess, you know, the real secret sauce seems to be what they're figuring out. So how are the companies then addressing that? How are they trying to say we're the real deal?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. I mean, with Axie Infinity, the company realized that they were having trouble striking a balance between users who wanted to play the game and a larger cohort of users who were playing the game to make money. And so what they've done is actually they're going to roll out a new version of the game that doesn't require users to actually own cryptocurrency assets. I think that is a really clear indication that a lot of these so-called Web3 startups are still figuring out whether they can, you know, attract users and offer a product that they want beyond the sort of incentives that come with being able to make a quick buck off some of these tokens that the startups issue. So I think a lot of these sort of Web3 startups that issue digital tokens on the blockchain to try and acquire users are in this tougher spot now of, you know, having to develop products that people will feel attached to beyond the money that they can make from playing those games.
How are crypto skeptics reacting to this? Are they just jumping for joy and saying, I told you so?
I think so. I think last year, because there was so much money and hype pouring into the space, you know, VCs were like changing their Twitter handles to like NFTs and adding Ethereum addresses to their usernames. Last year, that sort of environment made VCs who were skeptical of crypto sort of more hesitant to speak out. Now, given the crypto crash and the general slowdown in VC investing, a lot more VCs, traditional VCs that aren't sort of all in on crypto, have been more open about their reservations about the space. And it's definitely created a bifurcation within Silicon Valley. There are a set of VCs that are extremely bullish on crypto. There are a set of VCs that, you know, don't want to touch it at all. A lot of them are also just investing in sort of safer crypto companies, like infrastructure type startups that help other services build on the blockchain, or crypto exchanges that facilitate trading. But actually, very few VCs, I think, are pouring money into like the actual projects that are trying to supplant some of the traditional consumer internet services that it's the sort of founding block or the reason why crypto is supposedly so useful in the first place. But actually, not a lot of VCs have put money into those companies.
So does the crypto rut then, and some of these VCs pulling their money away from digital tokens, spell the end of Web3?
So one way to look at this is just from the amount of capital that's been raised dedicated to crypto investing. I'm thinking of, you know, three of the largest crypto-specific funds, Andreessen Horowitz, Paradigm, and Hahn Ventures. They have over $8 billion dedicated to crypto investing. So from that perspective, funding for crypto startups and Web3 startups will continue. It'll probably be a lot slower than it was last year. And there is an open question of whether there is actually a big enough market to invest all of that capital. So if you're a crypto skeptic who thinks that much of the industry is fueled by, you know, retail traders who like speculating on risky assets, you might believe that this sort of spells the beginning of the end for crypto projects. But just by the virtue of the amount of capital that's been reserved to help fund and get these projects off the ground, we're going to see more crypto and Web3 companies getting funded in the coming years.
All right, that's our reporter, Berber Jin. Thanks so much for joining us, Berber.
Thank you very much.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Want to stay on top of financial news but don't have a lot of time? Try Numbers by Barron's. Every trading day, we break down the day's biggest money stories and what they mean for your investments. And that's in less than 5 minutes. Or under 2.5 minutes if you listen at double speed. Numbers by Barron's, the financial news you need to know every day in under 2.5 minutes.